celebration in the morning with lovely pancakes. Why don't you come and join us? Why don't you come and join us? And then he said, I want to come, but I can't stay for the whole program because I have an early class. So I don't think I will come because I can't just come for the pancakes. So I said to him, don't worry, don't worry. You don't have to stay for the whole program. Just come for the pancakes. And then he said, I feel bad. I feel that is rude. And then I said, no, 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 no. You don't have to feel bad at all. The ladies who are making pancakes and myself just love that you are coming. You are always welcome to come. In the same way, David, in Psalm 40, is saying to his readers, we don't have to feel bad, we don't have to feel guilt. We are always welcome to come to our Heavenly Father because of His mercy and grace, because of His sacrificial love through His Son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So as we go through today's passage, which is Psalm 40, we are going to study how God's sacrificial love is expressed through the Messiah, Jesus Christ, so that we can come to our Lord with absolute confidence and assurance. So the first point that David wants to draw our attention to is that we are saved, we are forgiven once and for all because of God's faithfulness, love, and His saving help through the promised one, the Messiah. And this is shown in verse 10, as David says, I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Here, David doesn't hide, but proclaims the saving help from God to the great assembly, how God delivered him from his great and pressing trouble. And here, we can't exactly identify David's trouble in this psalm, as David didn't mention it specifically. However, we can see that David's trouble was most likely regarding his personal sin, which was causing him to be separate from God. This is because in verse 2, it says, and it was portrayed his difficulty as the slimy pit and mud and mire, which refers to the place of death, a place of separation from God because of sin. So in verse 1 to 2, it shows that when David was struggling with his sin internally, when he could not escape from it, when he was going down into the mud deeper and deeper, God graciously intervened. He turned to him, he heard him, he lifted him, and he set his feet on a solid rock and gave him a place to stand. As David says in verses 1 to 2, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Notice that God delivered David from the pit of mud and mire, where there is no secure footing is possible, to where he can stand firmly. This means God is assuring David that he is not separated from God anymore. His sin is forgiven. He is completely reconciled with God. His relationship with God is firm like a solid rock. So in verses 3 to 5, as God has delivered David from his trouble of sin, David now shares his overwhelming joy with others, so they will be encouraged to put their trust in the Lord as well. He says that those who trust in the Lord are blessed because God alone is trustworthy, whereas the false gods are liars. They promise what they cannot deliver. As it says in verse 4, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. And different to the false gods, David proclaims that God has a perfect plan to save and forgive His people, and He always keeps His perfect plan for them in wondrous ways. As it says in verse 5, "Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, none can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare yet." We have to be aware that God's perfect plan to save and forgive His people is not fulfilled by the animal sacrifices according to the Old Testament law, but by having faith in the promised one, the Messiah. And this is revealed to David in verse 6. God has opened David's ear to hear that God doesn't desire or require the animal sacrifices, but faith in the coming Messiah, as it says in verse 6. "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require." So David, having experienced a new awareness and understanding of the coming Messiah, who will come and bring forgiveness of sin and reconciliation with God, now he has decided to obey God. Now he has decided to trust and have faith in the coming Messiah. As it says in verse 7 to 8, "Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart." So in verses 9 to 10, out of gratitude, out of overwhelming joy, David proclaims the great assembly, the righteousness in his heart, the confidence of forgiveness of sin, the assurance of salvation, which did not happen as a result of the animal sacrifice in the law, but by his faith and trust in the coming Messiah, who will come and bring forgiveness of sin once and for all. Then we could wonder, who is this coming Messiah? The author of Hebrews in the New Testament says that Jesus is the Messiah, as he quoted Psalm 40, verse 7 to 9 in Hebrews chapter 10. He says, "The animal sacrifice in the law are not the final solution of God's people to be forgiven and reconciled with God, but it pointed to the ultimate sacrifice of Christ, who came to do God's will by offering himself as the Lamb of God." So we should praise God for his sacrificial love that is perfectly expressed in his Son, Jesus Christ. Because in our Lord Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, through his perfect obedience to the will of God, we are completely forgiven, and we can enjoy a permanent, unbroken relationship with God forever. 3 years ago, on Boxing Day, there was a huge sale at Macquarie Shopping Center. It was very huge. And I needed a watch, so I went there and bought one. And I was really happy with my new watch, but unfortunately, it broke within a year. So, while you are laughing, my watch is being broken. Anyhow, so I took it back to the same shop to check whether it could be fixed. And they said it was fixable and they could do it for free as it was in a warranty period. I was really happy and asked them, how long is the warranty period? And they said it is 2 years. This means I'm assured that I can always fix my watch for free as long as it is within the 2 years. However, we don't need a warranty period regarding forgiveness of sin or for our relationship with God, because we are assured, we are guaranteed that we are forgiven once and for all, not because of the animal sacrifice in the Old Testament law, but because of our faith in the coming Messiah. And this is the good news that David did not hide but proclaims to others in verses 9 to 10 that in the Messiah, in Jesus Christ, we are saved, we are forgiven, and we can enjoy a permanent relationship with our God. So, as we apply this message in our life, let us not hide this good news, but proclaim to others, to our families, to our friends, to our neighbors. We pray that they will understand the good news and have faith in Jesus, so that they will also enjoy the same assurance of salvation and forgiveness of sin that we have in our Lord, our King, in Jesus Christ. And the second point that David wants to draw our attention to is that despite our weakness, we must seek the Lord in confidence, because the Lord is our help and our deliverer. And this is shown in verse 17, as David says, "But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay." David proclaims that the Lord is great. He is our help and deliverer. So David confidently comes to the Lord for his mercy and grace. As he says in verse 11, "Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me." Yet, at the same time, in verse 12, David shows that he is a great sinner who is not worthy to come to the Lord. He believes that his sins are so great, and as a result of his sins, he's feeling guilt. He's no longer able to see God's faithfulness and come to the Lord boldly for his mercy and grace. As he says in verse 12, "For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails within me." And this can apply to us when we feel like our sins are so numerous, when we keep repeating our sins over and over again, then we may feel discouraged, lose hope, and feel guilt. As a result, we may feel like we are not worthy to come to the Lord boldly for his mercy and grace, as we may think our sin is greater than God's grace and mercy. However, in verses 13 to 15, David says that despite our great sin, despite our great weakness, despite the attack from our spiritual enemies to make us feel guilt, we must come to our Lord boldly for his mercy and grace, because the Lord always saves those who seek him. As it says in verse 16, "But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, 'The Lord is great.'" And please notice that David says "always" in verse 16. This is because David believes the Lord always saves those who seek him despite their weakness. He believes that the Lord always helps those who long for his mercy and grace despite their unworthiness. He is convinced that the Lord always delivers his people from their guilt despite their great sin. And please, here, don't get me wrong. This is not an encouragement for us to sin, but it is an encouragement for us to come to our Lord boldly and confidently for his forgiveness of sin, because our God is our deliverer. Our God is our saving help, who always delivers his people from their sin with mercy and grace. So in verse 17, David, even though he describes himself as poor and needy and unworthy, he boldly comes to the Lord in complete confidence and assurance for deliverance, because he knows that God is his deliverer. God is his help, who always saves him despite his weakness. As it says, "But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help, my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. Sue and I are so blessed with our little one, Grace. Grace is 3 months, and Grace was delivered at Royal North Shore Hospital. We are really blessed with the midwives and doctors who care for both Sue and Grace. When we first saw our baby, Grace, we were super overwhelmed with joy. But soon, we were starting to panic because Grace was kept on crying. Then, one of the midwives kindly told me and Sue, you don't have to be panicked at all. Because babies cry to communicate with their moms and dads. They cry when they have a wet nappy. And they cry when they are feeling pain somewhere. And they cry when they are hungry. And sometimes they cry without any reason. Yeah, I found it quite true. And they just need some cuddles and love. They are crying to tell their moms and dads that they need some help. So as Sue and I realized that babies cry to tell their moms and dads that they need some help, so now when our baby Grace cries, we don't panic anymore, but we try our best to help her, to solve her problem, because we are her mother and father. In the same way, God is our Father. God is our deliverer. God is our saving help. So He tries His best to help us and solve our problem. In order to solve our problem of sin, He sent His Son Jesus into the world, and He died on the cross on behalf of us so that we can be completely forgiven and reconciled with our Heavenly Father. So despite our weakness, despite our great sins, despite our unworthiness, let us come to our Lord boldly and comfortably, because He is our Father, our deliverer, and saving help. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for your steadfast love and mercy. We give you thanks that you are our Father, our deliverer, and saving help. We give you thanks that we can come to you confidently for your forgiveness of sin, not because of who we are and what we have done, but because of who you are and what you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, help us to have faith in your Son. Help us to come to you boldly and let us enjoy the assurance of salvation and forgiveness of sin by knowing that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the Lamb of God who paid the price for our sin once and for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.